You know, when we talk about salvation, we usually talk about saving souls. We usually talk about the spiritual aspect. And in this half of the chapter, you basically have Paul talking about the physical nature as well as the spiritual nature of salvation. And it's just, it's important for us to understand that there is, you know, a way that we use our bodies in righteousness, and that really, really matters, as well as our spirit and our soul, right? So we're going to pick up where we left off last time, where he talks about us not being the depth of sin that the world is in, but to be God's people. And so he says, you know, gives this whole list of sins, and then he says, and you, some of you were like that, and then he says, but now, and this is what we are. I want to go to the stuff in purple first. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And this is, in other words, where do we receive the power that makes us saved? Where do we receive the grace? Where do we receive forgiveness and mercy and all the things that come to us? And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God, right? And so he says, what did he do? He says, you were washed. And the word washed literally means to be purified. You were purified by Jesus Christ. When we call on the name of Jesus, when we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus, you know, enters us by the power of the Spirit, he purifies us. He makes us stand. And actually, John tells us in 1 John 3:3, he says, anyone that has the hope of being like him purifies himself just as he is pure. So that purity is something that's supposed to last during our lives. It's not just something that would happen once. And that's the way salvation works. It's not an event. It's a progress. It's a history. It's a life, right? And then he says you were sanctified. And the word sanctified means basically to be dedicated to service and loyalty. I like that. That's from a dictionary, Loanita dictionary, but it says, you know, to be dedicated to loyalty and service, set apart. You know, we do things differently because God is with us and God is leading us and God is our master, our Lord, and we walk behind him and we listen to him. We want to do what pleases him. We don't live only to ourselves. Very important. We don't live by our own inclinations. We live, you know, by the Word of God, the truth of God, and the leading of the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ, right? So that's sanctified, and we're loyal to God, we're loyal to serving God, and then justified. And that really is being able to stand before God. I was sharing with our brothers in the back that we were, you know, everybody, the whole world is steeped in sin. And if we are brought before the throne of God without help, we're guilty. We don't have a word to say. That's from Romans 3:20, and then 21 tells us about Jesus. But you know, we don't have a word. There's no defense, right? And so justified means that Jesus Christ has made us able to stand in that same place, to stand before the throne of God, to stand before his glory, his majesty, his perfection, and be okay. To be able to stand in righteousness before the Lord. So this is what he's telling us about ourselves, that, you know, as Christians, he says you were taken away from that world of sin and you were brought to this purification, sanctification, justified. But then he goes into, this is the rule of life for Christian living. Everything is permissible for me, he says, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. This probably is a little bit of hyperbole when he says, oh, I can do anything I want. There are certain things you know you can't do. You can't commit murder. You can't be a thief. You can't commit adultery. You know, those things are clearly stated in the New Testament. But what he's talking about are other types of rules, other types of guides. Like, we don't have the 613 laws of the Old Testament to tell us what to do.
We have the guidance of God, the guidance of the Spirit. So he's talking about that freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. We have freedom, but that freedom, we're told, don't ever use your freedom for bad purposes, for evil. That freedom is so we can live freely before God as righteous people. We're supposed to be trying to keep in step, as Paul says in Galatians, keep in step with the Spirit, where there's love, joy, peace, the things that Chris read before we started today, patience and godliness and all this, these good characters that come from the Holy Spirit, right? So he says, everything is permissible, and he's talking really in relationship to the law, because the law changed. In the Old Testament, you had ceremonial laws, right? You had ceremonial laws where you offered sacrifices for different kinds of sins. Well, that ceremonial law has all changed because there's one sacrifice. There's one who shed his blood for all of us, and that's Jesus Christ. So we don't go and kill our animals as a sacrifice to God. Now we pray at the foot of the cross. We pray to Jesus Christ, right? The civil laws are different. They're different. We're supposed to, again, follow the way of the Spirit, guys. But the moral law often stands the same. And that's where, again, there's the laws that tell us what is, unpleasing to God. And many of those are repeated in the New Testament, right? So we have that. And the idea, what Paul is saying is that there's a whole lot of things that are not forbidden. The Old Testament, you had so many things that are forbidden. So many just rules and sets of rules. And he says, no. But he says not everything is beneficial. In other words, I can do things, but not everything's beneficial. And I won't be mastered by anything. The question is, will my action be beneficial to my relationship to God? Is this helping me? And again, you just think of whatever it is that you do. Say, is this helping me to be closer to God? Is this stopping me from being closer to God? Is this a hindrance to my soul, to my prayers? Peter talks about if you have trouble at home, often it will create trouble in your prayers, ability to talk to God. So things are permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is for us in the sense of, it doesn't matter, because it does matter. And that's when we talk about body and soul. What we do matters before God. And he explains some more of that. He says, food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food. Now, in the law, in the Old Testament, there were all kinds of dietary laws. You couldn't eat lobster, you can't eat pork, you can't eat this. I had a conversation with a lady, about the food program, and she asked me, well, do you have meat? I said, we might have some bacon. She said, why would you have bacon? The Bible says don't eat bacon. I said, well, no. The Bible doesn't say that. In the New Testament, it says, don't let anybody, in Colossians here, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink, or in regard to a festival or new moon or a Sabbath. In other words, the laws of the Old Testament, where it says you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't eat, Paul says, no. Jesus said, basically, it's not what enters the mouth that defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth. This defiles the man. In other words, eating pork or eating something or drinking something doesn't make you evil, right? But it's the stuff that comes out of your mouth, the words, if you're saying hateful things or mean things, or now I guess you could say the tongue, the thumbs when they're texting bad stuff, that is what defiles a person, not what we eat. And so that's what he said, the stomach's for food, food for the stomach, But then he talks about a moral law, but the body is not meant for sexual immorality. And this is a very important part. The idea of having immoral relationships, and there's all these different places, it talks about it in Ephesians 5, 1 Timothy, Hebrews, Revelation twice, talks about that as a major disqualification. In verse 9, he said such a person is not allowed to enter the kingdom of God, or will not inherit the kingdom of God, right? So when he talks about the legalism, the idea of people, making rules, And I think about people. I've told you, when I the first church I went to, women were not allowed to wear pants. It was a rule. It meant you weren't righteous according to the rule, you know. And then I went to Bible college, and I'm sitting with all these young Christian women, and they're all wearing jeans and stuff. I said, oh, no. What do I do? And you realize, okay, some rules that people make, right, they're not God's rules. Some things that people say make them righteous don't make them righteous. As a matter of fact, legalism was a real problem in the New Testament. In Matthew 15, that's where he said, you know, what enters the mouth doesn't harm you, but what comes out does. In chapter 23, twice he talks to the Pharisees. He says, oh, you tithe all the time. You're always tithing, but you don't have justice, and you don't have mercy, and you don't have faithfulness. He called them hypocrites, and he said, you know, you clean the outside of the dish, but the inside is filthy. He talked about, you know, people in Mark 6 or 7. He says, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That is a quote from Isaiah. And the point is that, you know, the rules sometimes that we set that aren't God's rules can make us kind of, that's what the Pharisees did. They became hypocritical. They judged people based, if I remember, the guys are going through a wheat field, they grab a grain, and they start, you know, crumbling in their hands, and they start eating it, and they, you're harvesting on the Sabbath, you know, and breaking their interpretation of a rule. So when Paul talks about things being permittable, right, it means you need the guidance of God. You need the guidance of the Holy Spirit to know what is right, what is wrong. Is this good for my spirituality, or is this going to destroy my spirituality as sexual immorality will, right? So there's, you know, we don't want to be legalistic in that sense, but we don't want to be contaminated on the other side. And what we do absolutely matters. What we do absolutely matters. So he says food is for the stomach, and the stomach for food. God will destroy them both. And I think that means, you know, for those who only depend on those things, I'm not sure. But he says, but the body's not meant for sexual immorality. But the body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead. He also will raise us. So here it is. It says, you know, the body, we were created for God's purpose. We were created to be inhabited by the power and Spirit of God. We were created to walk with God, to know God, to become the image of God. That's what we were created for. Now, sin tears all that up, but Jesus Christ restores it. And he said the body is meant, it was intended for God. We are not just our own thing. You know, there's a lot of talk in our culture about, oh, my body's mine and I can do what I want with it. And that's not the truth. The truth is God created your body for a purpose. God made you for his purpose. And it's not you can do whatever you want. It's not that way. That's not the truth, you know. And he talks about the end of that body. It's interesting. He talks about that the Lord raised up Jesus and he will also raise us up. Now, this comes later in our book of Corinthians, but it is. He says, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So as he talks about this idea of God raising us up from the dead, it's not to be what we are. It's to be different. But think, look what he said. He says, and he talks about our body as a seed. He says, our body is sown and is raised. It's raised imperishable. It's raised in glory. It's raised in power. It's raised a spiritual body. In other words, the resurrected body, which is what this is a seed for, right? The resurrected body is fit to stand with God, to live with God, to be with God. We know the scripture tells us nobody can see God, nobody can be with God in the flesh. We have to have that kind of body that he's talking about. So the means of this is, what's the body for? The body is for the Lord, and the body is for the Lord now, and the body is for the Lord forever. We are called and created to be with God now and forever. So that's why, you know, we says, you know, don't you know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? And then I'm going to say to the other part, he says, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. We're supposed to be the body of Christ, and that function, like in Ephesians 4, where he talks about the gifts of the church and what the church is supposed to grow to, it's supposed to grow to the full mature stature of Jesus Christ. As a body, as a group of people, we demonstrate God's love. We demonstrate God's kindness. We demonstrate God's forgiveness. We demonstrate all that God is as the body of Christ. He says, you know, this physical body right now is at work, sanctified, set apart, loyal to God, serving God as Christ would serve, as Christ would serve among human beings, being that person. We are one with God in spirit. Jesus said at the end of John, he told the guys, he says, in that day, talking about when you have the Spirit of God, he says, you will know I am in the Father is in me, and you are with us. In other words, there's a unity in God and his people, his body. So this is a, so then he asked the question, so if my body is that important, it's supposed to be the you know, member of Christ, it's supposed to be united with the Lord, should I take that part and, you know, go to a prostitute? Should I, you know, unite myself and become one with someone who's not clean? He says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins man commits are outside the body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. What he's warning us about is we can destroy the seed, right? Now, I believe that God protects us. I believe that the power of the Spirit, the truth of the Word, I believe that God protects us. But folks, Paul's warning people at the same time. He's warning Christians. He's warning them. He says, listen, don't let this happen. Don't think that it's just my spirit or my soul. No, no. It's spirit and body, both. Soul and body, both. Live before God now and live before God forever. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The word in the Old Testament, it was called tabernacling. And in the book of Revelation, that's what happens. God tabernacles. He covers his people. And he indwells his people. He says, your body is a temple of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in us. The Holy Spirit, the temple was a place where God ruled, right? The Ark of the Covenant was the throne of God. And that's where God ruled. And what are we? We're the place where God rules, here and forever. We are belonging to him. So our body is special. Our body is dedicated to God. Our body is united with him by the cross of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Listen, every one of us, as we, you know, sang this morning and we're talking about, you know, the cross of Jesus Christ, you know, the Spirit of God testifies to me every time we sing like that. I was bought with a price. I don't stand righteous because of anything I've done, but I was bought with a price. God sent his only son to die for me so that I could walk with him, live with him, be with him now and forever. Therefore, honor God with your body. It's not just a matter of spirit. It's not just a matter of soul. It's a matter of how we live. Judgment Day, it actually says several times, we will be judged by the works done in the body. It's important. It's important that we live that way, you know? And if we've made mistakes, if we haven't done that all the time, or we've made big mistakes, there's the cross of Christ where we find forgiveness and grace and to be able to stand on our feet again. And heed the words that the apostle gave. Remember we talked about that fellow that got kicked out of the church in Corinth, right? He did terrible things. In 2 Corinthians, the second letter, Paul writes, bring the brother back in. There's grace and forgiveness in God. But we should therefore honor God with our bodies. Amen. sing. You're going to sing with me? Let's sing.
Lord, we pray that we would take seriously your warnings and your commands, that we should treat our bodies the way you would want us to treat them, that we should honor you with our bodies because they are your temple. Help us, Lord God, to care for each other, to love each other, and to continue to pray for the light of this church to reach this neighborhood. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.